Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, that there is freedom. You came to set the captives free.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Whoa. there. We have to throw that out the window a long time ago. We serve a God who's got this. We serve a God who is in control. You might be thinking, how can we move the mountain? He's already seen it move. We have to put our trust in Him. Not because we're too tired and we can't do it on our own, because that's where it's got to start. We have to put our trust in Him. We have to put our hope in Him. That is the only way you can take a step forward and another step forward, when you put everything in God first. Not last resort, but first. So whatever it is right now, whatever it is, if it's one of these people down on one of these tables, give it to God right now. Praise Him for what He's already done. Testify what He's going to do.
Savior's blood, I am no more. There's a moment in your life when you declared Christ your Lord. In that moment, it defined who you were. Everything. You are who He says you are. Inside of that, you will find your legitimacy. Inside of that, you will find your purpose for existing. Inside of that, you will find your peace. And from that moment on, Satan ceased to be able to speak to anything of who you are. God said it, and it was finished. We will spend our life trying to pursue and unveil the different layers of who God is and who He says you are. And I want to let you know, from that moment on, Satan ceased to be able to touch you. He ceased to be able to affect you. And his path for hurting you changed. See, he can't change who you are, but he can try to convince you that you are less than who he says you are. That's his trick. He can't touch you. Not a hair on your head. You're a child of the Most High God. You're above and not beneath. You're the head and not the tail. He didn't just say you were great. He didn't just say you were conquerors. He says you're more than conquerors. That's who Christ defined you as. And if you let Satan have just an inch, he'll say you're less than. I love David's response when Satan tried something stupid. David said this. He said, you've defied the armies of the living God. How dare you? The fight's not yours. You don't have to defend who you are. You don't have to push anyone back. You need to give it to God, and He will loose the armies of the living God to fight for you. That's who fights for your finances. That's who fights for your family. That's who fights for your job. That's who fights for your teen. It's the armies of the living God. And greater things are yet to come. Father God, I thank you that you spoke purpose and destiny into our hearts and into our lives. And even in the lowest moment, you were always there. You were always caring and capable and passionate. You were always God. You were always I am. And I thank you for just you being you. Nothing else. Just you being who you are. We worship you this morning. And everybody says, yeah, let's give him a shout of praise this morning. Come on. Yeah, because he's good. Man, I'm glad y'all are here. That's worship right there. I could have just kind of done that for a while, you know, just soaked right up in that thing because he's good. And I'm so glad you guys are here, especially our visitors, for all of you who come here for the first time or you've just been kind of visiting this church and trying to find a place where you fit. We're so glad you're here. Welcome home. Y'all give a hand to our visitors. Just a bunch of crazy people, really. The staff lead the way in that department. That's how we roll. And we really enjoy you here. We're glad you're here. I know you probably have a few questions, and we want to make sure they get answered. And so to do that, there's a small piece of paper you can fill out and turn in. And if you just need someone to pray for you, or you want to know about our life groups, or you kind of want to get a feel for what goes on here, we love stuff like that. It's important to us. So please fill that out, and we will get it back to you. And we're low pressure here. We're not going to come and jump in your face and dance around and get on your nerves. We just want to make sure we don't miss you either. So please do that. And for anything else that's going on here at Resurrection Life, if you would just turn your eyes to the screens on the sides, we're going to have our RLM there.
Brent, you know what I love about summertime when we have youth camp and kids camp?
I know exactly what you mean. 1 week of freedom from kids.
I was thinking more of the kids get to spend time alone with God.
Oh yeah, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, we're gearing up for that, too. It's time. We have a brand new theme this year. It's going to be called Significant Pursuit. Our youth camp is going to be June the 18th through the 22nd. It is just $200 to go. And if you register in the month of April, your registration fee is only $50.
And kids camp is happening June the 6th through the 8th, and the cost is only $599 per student.
Whoa.
It's really only $120, but that sounds a lot better, doesn't it? Anyway, you can sign up online or in our app today.
Here at Resurrection Life, we have 5 core beliefs. And one of those core beliefs is that we believe in the next generation. And another one is that we believe that we can affect change in our world. That is why we're always improving and growing in our children's ministry. Our children's ministry is growing, and we're moving all the children that are normally in the sanctuary nurseries on Sunday morning. We're moving everybody over to the main building, with the exception of bed babies in the first 2 nurseries. And we want to say thank you for helping us with this move. But if you want to be part of a growing ministry and affecting change in the next generation, why don't you see Missy Lee, Melissa Long, or Jessica Lynch today?
Resurrection Life, it is that time of year again, and we are excited to give you kind of a breakdown of all our events happening during our week of fasting and prayer. Monday is going to be a day of reading and declaring the Word of God. If you'd like to sign up for an hour of that, you can do so in the foyer on the sign-up list. Tuesday is a day of worshiping God, and hey, it's tax day, so what a better day to get on your face and declare that God is good. Wednesday is our night of worship starting at 7 o'clock, and you don't want to miss that. And of course, there's Thursday, which is our night of healing, where we're praying for people that desperately need a movement of God in their life. It's starting at 6 o'clock. We are preparing and setting the atmosphere for our prophetic conference and believing that God is going to do something amazing here at Resurrection Life, and you want to be a part of it.
But God is speaking to you. That's the thing. The more you keep things in the dark, the more power the enemy has over you. When you lift the lid and the light comes, darkness is dispelled. We need each other. Come on, be each other. We can't accomplish reaching the lost and the body without you.
Our world is changing. It's changing fast, and it's changing constantly. But here at Resurrection Life, we want to reach the world with a timeless message of God's love by using technology. That is why, as of today, we've launched our new phone app. All you have to do is go to the App Store on iPhone or any Android phone, go to the Play Store and search for My Church app, download it, and then search for Resurrection Life Church. Everything Resurrection Life can be found in our new app. If you want to sign up for an event, you can do that. If you need notifications about different things that are going on in the different departments, you can do that. You can give through the app. You can study your Bible through the app. Pretty much anything that you want to do for Resurrection Life is in our new app. So go to the App Store or the Play Store and download it today.
But wait, there's more to it than just a basic app. At the beginning of each month, there's going to be a feature called First Find. It includes incentives and rewards. It could be a riddle, a game, a search and find, whatever it is I come up with for that month. And the reward, you'll have to download the app and check it out for yourself to find out what it is.
Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he what? Look at the next one. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and what? Luke 16:12. Now it came to pass in those days that when he went out to the mountain to what? And continued all night in what? To God. Look at the last one. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. This is right after the feeding of the 5,000. And when he had sent the multitude away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Let's pray. God, I thank you. Every distracting spirit, everything that would keep us, God, from hearing your clear word, every attitude, everything, Lord, I just ask you that, God, we would see your glory and hear your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, we are going to learn something this morning from the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. I think it's awesome, man. I'm feeling like Mark Job and Gateway and all them. Check on our app. It's awesome. I've never been to the app store, so I'm not sure what it is. But see, my phone lasts a long time because all I use it for is a phone. Amen? Yeah. And maybe texting a little bit. I mean, I still use an atlas, you know, the map and all that. See, I mean, because it don't, anyway. But we got an app. I want you to take notes today. It's also on our phone thing. Are you on that? But I want you to write them down also. Because we're going to learn the lifestyle that Jesus had that is very obtainable. Very obtainable for every person. All right? We're going to talk about prayer. Who am I? We are people of prayer. Then you say, I don't pray much. Well, I'm going to call those things that are not as if they are so that they will be. I want all of us to be people of prayer. Not this kind of prayer. Not, well, Brother Allen, we've done all else we can do. I guess we should pray. No, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about people that pray, that seek God, that spend time with God. Now, the Bible says pray without ceasing. I am talking about prayer time. I'm not talking about, see, some of you think your prayer time is why you drive to work. Uh-uh. I'll show you in just a minute. I mean, you can pray, but I don't want you praying too hard. I don't want you to get caught up in the spirit while you're driving while I'm on the road. You understand? And so we've got to learn what Jesus, first of all, let's define prayer. Prayer is simply talking and communing with God. Talking and listening. Communing with God. There's no special words. There's no special things you have to do. You don't have to sprinkle the water on you or do the, you know, you just talk to God. You don't have to talk differently than what you normally talk. You know, I know people that pray in public and they ain't talking to God because I know them. They don't ever talk that way. You know, some people, you've heard them in the old churches where they pray in old English. Thee, thy great father. Oh, great. No, that talking to God, how you talk. Communing with God. Now, what you need to understand is, I just showed you just a small sampling. Jesus prayed, took time to pray as a lifestyle. Now, I want you to understand this first point. Look at it. Jesus needed to pray. That is the greatest reason that you ought to need to pray. Jesus Christ thought he found it to be needful. He found it to be important. And you're going to find out as you study these scriptures, it's always before and after. It's either after he just did a big miracle or a bunch of miracles, he went to pray, or before he knew some were coming up, he went to prepare himself. He got filled up in prayer. Some of you are running on empty way too long. And you wonder, why isn't God filling me? I come to church. He wants you to come meet with him. Jesus Christ found it needful. He found it before big stuff, after big stuff. I'm going to make a statement here right at the beginning. I do not believe you will make it as a Christian without a good prayer life. You will not be that more of an overcomer like Brent was talking about without a good prayer life. Jesus Christ needed it. I think we do. Now, we need to learn, if Jesus Christ did, we need to learn how he did it. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he prayed this model, and people pray that, but he wasn't saying pray these words. It was a model. It was a sampling. Okay? You get that? Now, I want all of you to be successful. You need to pray. You need, look at me. You need to take time for it. Well, brother, I'm just too busy. What? That's like saying I'm too busy to put gas in my car. Well, you can go that route for a while. Right? I'm too busy. I can't take time. Look at what Jesus did. Man, they were clamoring for him all the time. What did he do? He got up before daylight and got away. Whatever it takes. Have a prayer life. Because you need it. Amen? I didn't get much of an amen. Amen? All right. Let's learn these lessons from Jesus' life. I'm not talking about just when you're in trouble. I'm talking about a lifestyle like Jesus did. Number one, the first thing we learn from Jesus' life is the posture of prayer. Look what he says. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these things, they took Peter, James, and John and went up to the mountain to pray. And he prayed. His appearance was altered. His robe became like white. That's the Mount of Transfiguration, if you're wondering. If you don't know what that means, read that. You'll figure it out. He was transfigured. He was transformed. Do you understand? The first thing, the first posture of prayer. Are you hearing me? Please hear me. This is rocket science. This is big. This is huge. Or like Seth say, hygge. This is hygge. You got to get to a place of no distractions, first thing. Your posture has to be, I have no distractions. Communion, true communion with God takes full attention. What does that mean? You can't take your phone with you. Well, I put it on silent, but you still look at it every five minutes. Y'all don't think I watch. It ain't even doing nothing at your restaurant, and you still poke it to see if I miss something. You got to get to a place where I'm not distracted. You got to find you a place. If you're going to be a prayer, I'm not talking about the gift of intercession. I'm talking about praying and communing with God. How many of you had tough decisions that you've made or tough decisions coming and all these things? You need to pray and ask God His wisdom. To do that properly, first of all, we learn that Jesus Christ got away. He went up into the mountain. He even sent His disciples. Amy knows when I go in my quiet time at the end of the table, don't mess with me. Well, that's just wooed. No, she understands because when she gets over there on the floor, beating the floor and praying, I don't mess with her either because I hope she's praying for me. You understand? Listen, we're too busy. We're too distracted. We cannot stand a moment without something going on with ourselves, by ourselves. Well, that's where God wants me. Jesus got away from everything. All the needs. Then you go, well, that's wrong. Man, he could have been healing people. No, that's the reason he sustained his ministry, because he got away. Are you hearing me? No distraction. True, you need to find your place. You need to get your place. You need to get away. You need to find you some minutes. Find you somewhere. You know, lay down the things that bind you. Okay? Next thing, in the posture of prayer, you never come to prayer with pride or a sense of accomplishment. Some of you feel like if you get up to have prayer, God ought to do something just because you got up. You know, I had a lady tell me one time, I literally stepped back because I thought lightning was going to strike us both, and I didn't want to get killed with her. She said, I've been a Sunday school teacher for 35 years. I figure God owes me. I went, well, ma'am, I didn't know what to say. I was young. You know, I wasn't as refined as I am now. I was young. I was young, and I just splurted out. It came out of my mouth. I wanted to catch it. No. It came out. I don't even think you're saved. Ooh. That stirred up a religious demon, man. I had to get out of there. Do you understand? I can't come to God with pride, with a sense of I've accomplished something, I'm doing something, I'm good. We still keep comparing ourselves to ourselves. You might be better than somebody in here. Big whoop. That person is not the measuring stick. It is Jesus Christ. And none of us measure up. So for me to come into His presence, I've got to recognize that I have been gifted to be there. Does that make sense? I've got to recognize my posture. I cannot be arrogant. I've got to recognize that how I got there. I've got to recognize that just to recognize who He is and what He did to let me come there. His blood was shed for me. God, thank You. I can come into Your presence. That's the posture. I can't come in there with my head lifted high into His presence going, what's up, God? I'm here to convene with You today. No, oh God. Thank You. You even know my name. That's a posture. It's an attitude. The last one on the posture is I cannot. My heart has got to be open and honest. So many people come to God with hidden sins and don't talk to Him about them. And they wonder why God isn't there. You know what the Bible says? Everybody hear me. An open and contrite heart He will not deny. An open and contrite heart. We're going to learn Jesus did this. But coming into your prayer time, wherever your heart is, sometimes I come into my prayer time and go, God, You're awesome. Man, life is good. Sometimes I drag myself into my prayer time going, God, I am broken. See, when you have that posture of my heart is open, God, what about this conflict I had here? What about this right here? When your heart is open, He says, I will not deny. Don't hide sin. Don't hide attitudes. Don't hide attitudes from God. Some people go, well, you know, I haven't been very good, so I'm not praying right now. Well, I mean, He knows. It's not like you're hiding it from Him. But when you come in bearing, God, it hurt my feelings. God, I got mad. I lost my temper. When you come in with that posture, an open and contrite heart, He will never deny that. Do you hear that? That's the posture that Jesus Christ had. I'm going to show you in just a second. He came in when He was needing, He came in. When He was empty, He came in. When He was broken, at Garden of Gethsemane, He was broken. He came in saying, God, if there's any other way, He was open and honest. God will meet you there. If you have that posture. Do you see that? That was the posture Jesus Christ had. The second thing about what we learn from is the presence of prayer. The posture of prayer, the presence of prayer. Do you understand? See, there are so many people that tell me, I'm talking about Christians. Brother, I can't hear God. I don't think my prayers are getting above the roof. Blah, 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 all this stuff. They don't even know about the presence. When Jesus Christ went, He expected God to meet Him there. In Matthew 17:21, it says this. Wait a minute. I jumped. I'm sorry. That's not the right word. I was reading. It's Luke 9:28. Yeah. Excuse me, I jumped. I'm getting ahead of myself. Now it came to pass 8 days there, he took Peter, James, to the mountain to pray. And it was there that God met him. Well, guess what? He expected to meet him. And that's where the difference is. We hope, we think, we, well, maybe. I didn't feel it. All these different things, Jesus Christ knew God was going to meet him there. The presence, I have separated myself from the world. I am here to meet with you. He expected him to be there. How can I have that? Because as a blood-bought Christian, are you hearing me? As a blood-bought Christian, I have access into the throne room. I am covered in the blood of Jesus. Jesus lives inside of me. So when I step into the presence of God, by promise, He meets with me. By promise. Not whether I feel it, whether I whatever. By promise of the blood of Jesus Christ, I'll meet with you there. Do you see that? We've got to know that there is a presence there. Whether I feel it on my emotions, man, my emotions can run up and down. But the presence is, He meets with you because I have access through the blood of Jesus. I have access through the blood of Jesus. I'm going to say it one more time so some of you might click with you. Because not, you look at me, not because I've been good that day, but because of the performance of Jesus Christ, I have access to talk to God Almighty. And He promises, because of His Son, I'll meet with you there. Wow. Wow. And when that presence, when you know His presence, I hate to tell on myself, but I am a somewhat of a creature of habit. And every Friday at lunch, I'm pretty much at Stonewall's. I just feel like it's my meat day. You know, we try to eat salads and do good for lunch, but on Friday I go to Stonewall's. I don't order any sides. I just want all of the meats. You know, and I sit there and enjoy it. Oh, I went somewhere afterwards, and I was signing some papers at the bank, and the guy said, "You've been in Stonewall's, haven't you?" I said, "How did you know that?" He said, "You smell like it." All right. I didn't go back there and cook. I didn't go back there. Listen to me. Everybody look at me. If God's presence is there, He always brings peace. Now, I might not have no big manifestation of healing and stars shooting and glowing and all that, but when God's around and I know He's there, I can't help it. It physically just makes me, okay, God. And when I'm at peace, and I'm going to prove it to you. See, there's prayer. When you know His presence, when you've separated yourself. Husbands, if you have small children, you need to give your wife time to separate herself from all that. I figure I'd get an amen out of the women somewhere, you know. Look, it'll go well for you if she's at peace. Can I get a witness, men? Amen. Listen, when God is in the house, when He is with me, the first thing He brings is His peace. And it's peace. Listen, I might have went in there with a whole herd of problems, and I come out of there, and nothing's changed with those problems. But the peace that passes all understanding It happens. That means, you know what that means? That means having peace when I shouldn't have peace. Means I'm at peace when all hell's breaking loose. Only God can produce. Let me show you this. Look at this verse. Show you exactly what I'm talking about. You listening? Yeah. Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. Anybody got anything you can be anxious about? You got kids. Look what it says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by what? Prayer. Come into the prayer and thanksgiving. That's the thank you, Lord. You're allowing me to come into your presence. Look at it. Look at it. Thank you, Lord. You paid a way I could come. You love me enough that I could come into this solitary place with you. Thank you, Lord. Because of that, and let your request be made known to God. Talk to him. Tell him what's on your heart and what will happen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind forever. There is a power in his presence that brings peace to me. Do you see that? And it's when I am at peace. See, some of you say you can't hear God, but the only time you try to hear God is when you're under a lot of pressure. Okay, Brother Allen, I believe I can hear God. I'm going to try it. It didn't work. Didn't get nothing. But if you develop it as a lifestyle, as a habit, he will direct your steps. God speaks. All of a sudden you have ideas you didn't have before. All of a sudden you have peace and you know you're going to make it through. God directs your path. You find yourself. And God begins to do things that only God can do. And every time Jesus walked out of there, he had a power in prayer. I want to show you this. I got so happy. So there is a power. See, I'm expecting. Everybody look at me. See, the reason some of you don't have miracles happening in your life is because you don't expect them. Or all your prayer life is motivated out of fear. Or, let me explain that. See, some of you beg God for things because you're afraid of something. Well, let me tell you something, honey child. God ain't moved by your fear. He ain't moved by it. Let me tell you what God's moved by. Somebody that steps on his promises and say, God, you said that right there, so I'm just going to believe that right there. I'm going to pray that right there. I'm going to pray that by faith. All of a sudden, heaven and earth starts to move because somebody has faith. God is moved by faith. Okay? Faith happens, first of all, when I know I'm in his presence. He comes to me. He gives me his peace, his direction. Now, all of a sudden, I have something I can step into. The power that he has. Let me show you this. Man, if you don't get excited right here, I cannot help you today. Look at this one. Matthew. However, this kind, he's talking about a demon. And if you don't believe demons are real, wow, you got a bunch of them. One of them is confusion. Okay? If there's angels, there's demons. Amen? Look at this. However, this is Jesus talking. Wow, this is exciting. This hit me. And I almost became, you know those churches that people run? I almost thought about it. But then I realized my knees were bad and I said, no, better not. However, this one only comes out, does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now see, most people use that as, ooh, that's a bad demon. You got a, ooh. Let me tell you the way I interpreted it. I got excited because what are we about to do? We're about to pray and fast. So what does that mean? There's going to be some demons got to go. There's going to be some things happening. Earth's going to shake. Things going to let go. Why? Because people are praying and fasting. Amen. There is a power when I pray and fast that releases things that I can't get people rid of demons. I can't scare them out. But what I can do is pray and fast. And what are we about to do next week? We're going to pray and fast. I'm expecting. Why? Because I'm standing on His Word. His Word. He said, they got to go when you pray and fast. Is that not what He just said? Guess what? I'm going to be praying and fasting next week. So you better hope that I'm praying for your family because something's got to go. Do you see that? Man, does that not build your faith? There's power when I separate myself and I begin to fast. Pray. All of a sudden, things begin to move. Things happen that I never dreamed would happen. People get saved that I didn't think could get saved. You ever had one of those? There's some of y'all in here I didn't think could get saved, and here you are. Yeah. Here's what prayer also we learn through this week, that there is a prayer of agreement. When I make, listen, in my quiet time prayer, my prayer time, sometimes I get overwhelmed. And they had this thing called the prayer of agreement, which we're about to do. James 5:16, look what it says. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Look at the last part. We quote this last part, and rightly so. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But look at the context. The context is in relationships when I'm praying for somebody else. Is that not exactly what we're about to do? Yeah. There are two times. Everybody hear me, because we're about to do something. There are two, the Bible says in Galatians, bear your own burden. There are burdens that you have that you got to bear. Nobody can get saved for you. Nobody can do certain things that you're called to do. Bear your own burden. And then two verses later it says, bear one another's burden. Two different words for bear. They interpret them both as bear. The second one means when your wagon gets overloaded and it's about to topple, let somebody come alongside and bear your burden. Well, it's telling you to be looking at other people when their wagon is about to topple and come alongside them and bear their burden. Everybody, look at me. There are going to be people that bring pictures of their children and their grandchildren and their friends and their loved ones that they have prayed for so many years, they just can't pray for them anymore. They just can't work up the faith. I'll show you in just a minute. In hard times, you better develop a prayer life and believe in prayer that you can call out to somebody else, not just the preacher, but somebody that can come alongside you. One of my favorite people in this room that encourages me is my sister right here. I remember when she lost her son. And I remember all she could say at that moment was, pray for me. And I remember people, you remember that? Your friends and people that loved you came alongside her and prayed for her when she didn't know what to pray. And now she is helping other people. That is the exact model that Jesus Christ modeled. You look at the scripture. He said at the Garden of Gethsemane, remember I told you, he kind of knew things that were coming. He either got depleted of his strength and needed to get away, or he knew something was coming that was going to demand something. He got away to get filled up. And his strength, and look at the scripture. It says, well, we don't have it. That's right. I'm sorry. We got it? Look what it says. And Jesus came to them in a place. This was, listen, this was after the Lord's Supper. This is when they're about to arrest him. He knows what's about to happen to him. And look at what Jesus Christ does. He says to his son, sit here while I go a while and pray. And he took Peter, James, and John, that's the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful. Do you see that? And he said to them, I'm sorrowful. I'm broken. Watch him pray with me. The Son of God asked Peter and James and John, who were his close friend, please pray for me. It was time that he was so tense that sweat drops of blood were dropping off. It was so hard because he already knew. He knew all the prophecies. He knew he was about to be scourged and beaten and spit on and crucified and all the pain. He knew it all was coming and he was begging God. He was open and contrite heart. What did he do? He was open. God, if there's any other way than this, please let it go. And he asked three friends, guys, pray with me. Would to God that we would develop that kind of prayer life where it's not just the preacher, but we develop those kind of relationships where we weep for one another. Because it's in that prayer of agreement. David said it like this. He said, one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. Prayer of agreement, my strength mixes with yours. All of a sudden, we begin to tear down the stronghold. Your prayer night life strong enough to hold somebody else up when they need it? Are you hunting for Brother Dan and Sister Amy to pray? We all have that right. I have the privilege. And one of the things you find out in the presence of prayer. Remember I talked about the presence of prayer. And you know he's there. When I am in the presence of Father, my self-concern goes way down. My self-worry goes way down when I'm in the presence of Dad. Because I know Dad's got me. I asked the Lord several times this morning, I asked the Lord, how do you want to do this? And I want to tell you that God's here. Here. And he he said, just give them time to pray, to be open and honest with me. We're going to have people standing. There's going to be a few prayer team people standing over here. But, man, everybody look at me. Some of you are carrying burdens. Some of you are not praying. You're hoping things work out. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar and be open and honest with God, and then develop it as a habit for the rest of your life. Some of you know people in here that are carrying burdens that are just too much. They're just too much. I want you to go to them. If you got a burden for them, go to them and say, I just want to pray for you. I just want to help you. But I'm going to give you about 5 minutes, because we got to end in doing something else. But I'm going to give you 5 minutes to commune and talk and commune with the Creator of the universe. Don't look around and watch other people, because He is God. He is so big, He can touch everybody at the same time. And then this week, I'm asking you to come. And when you walk through those doors, you're going to see a sign that says no fellowship and no children, all that stuff, unless they're here praying. I know you say, well, we ought to pray and we model a kid. No, this is our separation time. There might be 50 people in here, but I want them to be in their own little cocoon praying. We're going to see God do lift people's burdens. Because these don't move but by prayer and fasting. Well, guess what, demons? We're going to be praying and fasting next week, so your time is over. See how that works? I want you to become people that pray constantly. Look, if you've got children, small children, teenagers in this world, you need to be constantly praying. But remember, not out of fear, out of the Word of God. Not out of fear. You know somebody's got a burden. Man, hope somebody's praying for him. Here's what the question I get all the time. Do they got a pastor that can help them through that? Do they got a pastor? Hey, baby, you don't need me to get to God, because Jesus Christ has done a great job at opening the door, and you can come straight into the throne room. Everybody rise to your feet.